This is a Niche Radio podcast. For more, visit www.nicheradio.co.za.
Welcome to the Come Join Us podcast channel. I'm sitting here with the lovely Meinert Hubert. He is originally from where?
The Eastern Free State.
Yeah, the Eastern Free State. Funny enough, I always want to say Western Cape, and then I clutch, and then I realize, I see Mahini. Meinert and myself met a few years ago via KWV, and I did events for them, and you were the winner still with Kokodua at that time.
Yes.
Tell us, Meinert, how's your journey been? Tell us from where and what and how do you fit into the lovely cuisine world of South Africa?
Well, very interestingly, I didn't start my career in the hospitality industry. Okay. I studied musical theatre, which took me on to become a professional ballet dancer. I danced with Pack Ballet for years.
Yes.
And then toured overseas and then came back and needed sort of to decide what I'm going to do with my life. And then by hook or by crook, I landed up working in restaurants in Cape Town. And the first place I worked in was a lovely restaurant in the Waterkant.
Yes.
A wine bar with the name of The Nose Wine Bar.
Long ago was that?
That was 2003, 2004.
Okay. Yeah, then I just started studying.
Oh, really? Oh, my word. Yeah, so those were really my formative years.
Yes.
And I think and my first sort of perception or my love for this industry started with wine. I thought was quite interesting. The Nose was owned by Kathy Marston, and her husband Kevin, and they came from the UK, and they had a very different look at that time and a very different perception about restauranteering and the wine industry.
Yes.
So it was very fresh, and I worked with lovely people who I still know to this day, which was involved in the project. And so with her, I had the great opportunity to become the restaurant manager, and then she educated me on wine, and it was such a beautiful school to be in.
Yes. But how did you land up in the kitchen then?
I've always loved cooking.
And
I come from a family, we grew up on a farm, and being hospitable and everything.
Best meat.
Exactly.
And the Free State.
Has always been part of how I grew up, So I think the two just sort of linked, and I then realized that wine goes with food, and the one can't be without the other one, and then my other passion just gently sort of flowed into that. And then managed some restaurants in Cape Town, and then got the opportunity to move to Rivia Castile.
Lovely little quaint town on it's more the West Coast side.
Swartland area. Beautiful region, very arid, almost very Mediterranean. And they grow olives and grapes and make wine, and lots of wheat farmers. Very sort of similarities to the Mediterranean. And there I met Anton Espost, amazing character, and he approached me and he said, "Don't you want to open up a restaurant with me?" And his concept was to have like a workers bar, and sort of interpret peasant food and peasant cooking, which was very foreign for me at that stage, coming from Cape Town and all sort of the high-end restaurants.
Everyone wants to fine dine, and that's it.
And the fine dining, but I mean that sort of concept. So this was completely new to me, and it took some time to put my head around it. But then also, got involved with all the winemakers like Ardy Badenhorst and even Sardi and the Molyneux.
Big names,
amazing. And together we formed this beautiful little association there. And And then we started this restaurant, and it was amazing, and it was a really sort of successful for what it was.
Yes.
In the country. It was a real sort of country restaurant.
Bar Black Sheep.
Yeah, and that was Anton's concept, which was lovely. And yeah, and we grew a lot of our own vegetables. We did almost all our own herbs. You know, we got everything from the farmers. We cooked seasonally. Everything came off the land. And it was such an amazing time in my life,
yes.
The 5 years that I had the restaurant with Anton. And, you know, he just always said, you know, he said, just cook good food. The people will come. Because we were thinking about marketing strategies and all. And he said, don't worry about that. Just cook the food. They will come. And we were also hidden at the bottom of like a little street in an alcove. So we had no street frontage, or people didn't know. The people had to either discover us or fall upon the restaurant or, so that was amazing.
I went to eat there after you left.
Oh, really?
I remember. Okay, yeah, cool. So, but I wasn't there while you were there.
Yeah.
And then how did the whole Cook-a-Doer thing come?
Well, then I sort of reached my ceiling with the restaurant, and then I thought, you know, there must be something else. And I actually just soldered on, not knowing what I was going to do. And I did a couple of events and weddings and things and didn't really find my feet. But then my brother-in-law's mother phoned me and she said, look on TV, there is this thing that they're advertising, this cooking
competition. So for people that don't know Cook-a-Doer, what is it exactly?
Cook-a-Doer is the... the Afrikaans equivalent of like something like MasterChef, a reality cooking show. The difference being that they combined a professional chef and then a chef who, who's got no training, or a home cook.
Yes.
So I was sort of the chef with no training, home cook, part of a team with Tian Langenacker, who had obviously had professional training, and they wanted to have the best combination of old and new, sort of heritage home with, new thinking about South African food, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. And Cook-a-Doer comes from the French term called coq d'or, which was a sort of a prize like the Michelin stars that they give today. They gave out to French cooks.
Yeah.
And the coq d'or is the golden rooster.
Like the golden goose.
Yeah. And directly translated, it's Cook-a-Doer. The golden.
Amazing. And how long was that journey? Did you shot the program how long?
Yeah, we shot the program in Prince Albert in the middle of February.
Okay, so Prince Albert is a flip and bottom. Very.
Very hot. Yeah, it was like between anything
in the
between
Karoo,
40 to 45 degrees.
And then you're still in a kitchen as well.
Yes, and we and
so
they built the set. No. They built the set in a packing shed.
Yeah.
A box to it, you know. And then,
so it was literally sink.
Yes.
Yeah.
No air conditioning. So that was quite interesting. But there again, I think that was such a huge blessing in my life. And there's something else really opened up for me. And me and Tian won the competition and went on to do another cooking program where I eventually met the brand managers from KWV. And that's how I...
That was all Charlene Engels.
Yes,
Charlene. Now Joel Cullis' wife. Yes.
Yeah.
I can remember.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. So that's how your journey started then eventually with KWV.
Yeah.
And now KWV itself, what do you think of it, Rand? Have you been enjoy working with them?
Or it's been very interesting because I joined them 5 years ago and sort of 3 years down the line, it got sold over and a new company bought it over and they sort of... pulled everything apart and looked at every brand within KWV because there's the Brandy, there's the Fortifies, there's the Labourie side, there's the beautiful Mentors wines, there's the Cathedral Cellar wines, there's the Classic Collection. So varied. And previously it was all marketed under one sort of umbrella. And what they decided to do was to give each one its own individual character, each with its own PR company, each with its own distinctive character. And I find that so amazing. And it's been such a privilege to be part of the journey of each of those.
Yeah, because they're all distinctively
wines
different.
And brands. Yeah. And I've learned so much about how to build a brand and how to how to get the message across. And obviously I come in with on the food side of things, and which has been amazing because now we've started developing a lot of content for social media.
Yes.
Which is fascinating for me. And, you know, we get the opportunity to develop the recipe with the wine, see what the brand managers want, talk with the PR company, you know, go through the whole creative process, style the image, shoot it with the photographer, and then also after that, the post, sort of introducing it on social media, pushing it, marketing it, and then eventually see where it ends up.
Okay.
And that circle of...
it's a massive process.
Yeah.
I think people sometimes just think, they look at a pic and think, entry three, we got it, you know?
No,
more amazing the pic is the more thought and detail went around it. What is your creative process when you think of things like recipes and things? Do you go and sit down and think of aspects of it and then put it together? How do you normally...
It's so interesting. Sometimes it comes from the most obscure places. Sometimes I'm very inspired by colors.
Okay.
I'm very inspired by, obviously, seasonal products and food, which is almost a given. But and then sometimes it's through music. Sometimes it's through smell. Sometimes it's through a memory. Sometimes it's a film or whatever. It really comes from anywhere. And I think that is really such a magical space to be in.
Totally.
When you grab those first ideas and they start developing, and then they get a life of their own, and then things start happening along the way, and you collect the props and you collect the backgrounds, and you know, and it develops into its own life.
You can think of any like very memorable shoots. Embrace us with one or two of them.
Recently we did a wonderful shoot for KWV Cathedral Cellar.
Yes.
Which was a very underrated sort of range of KWV, and they decided they want to bring it up to sort of flagship status. And and just previously to that, I visited Russia for about 3 weeks.
I was about to ask you about that. How was that?
Yeah, that was incredible. And I think I got so much inspiration from there. And we spent a lot of time in art museums looking at art, looking at Renaissance painters, looking at Impressionists, looking at modern art, looking at everything that was there. And when I came back, we received the brief of what they wanted to do with the wine, and each wine was inspired by a painting.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So it sort of collabed with what you did and went on holiday.
How beautiful was that? And some of these things I actually saw hanging there. I have to tell you, once you stand in front of something like that, it's such a cliche, but...
But it's true.
It does change you. You can't walk away from there.
So, for example, I love Van Gogh.
Yeah.
And I went to the Museum d'Orsay in France, in Paris.
Wow.
And I actually saw his self painting, and I listened. I can still remember. I was still on my iPods, and I was listening to Don McLean's Vincent while looking at the actual painting. I started crying. It was so emotional, and it's still a memory that sticks with me always.
Yeah.
And I completely get what you're saying. If it's all the visualness, it's that sound, it's the music, it's the whole ambiance that brings or makes something come to life.
Yes, completely. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the one recipe that we did was based on Van Gogh's Starry Night.
Oh, right.
And then we put all these blue colors together, and the whole thing also got its own rhythm, and we got this beautiful background. And once we put it together and we styled the shoot with the muscles and the everything that we did with, it's like you could hear the ocean. It just became alive.
Mm.
And I think... And like you said, not a lot of people understand the process behind something. But if you don't have that process, it just becomes another picture.
The attention is in the detail. Like I always say, it's the small stuff you won't normally go and look out for. But because that small things are there, it makes the big picture at the end of the day.
Yes.
And that's why the thoughts are on it.
And we got so much reaction from that specific picture. of that specific recipe.
Because there's so much the detail inside it.
Yeah. And now...
I want to go look at it now. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Maybe I have seen it because I see so many beautiful stuff of that you post on Facebook and the shoots you've done.
But then, and after that, that you talk about the detail, it started filtering through many other aspects in what I do and how I sort of started looking at things and approaching things this year, and also decided to, you know, to start this whole process with my staff and everybody who works with me. And we've been doing these little workshops.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
To get them on the same page, to know what are you thinking and creating.
To make them understand why we do what we do and how why the detail is important and how, even if somebody doesn't know it, they feel it when they walk into a room. They feel, wow, this something has happened here. They can't put their finger on it, but it's there. And, yeah, we started doing lots of training and team-building exercises and getting them to think about differently about what they do and how they approach their job. And we also set up all...
Can you see that it's changing the characters?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Especially with what? With them coming forward with ideas or what are they doing?
Yeah. We broke up the business into 10 points, the brand. And we thought, what do we want the brand to stand for? And we discussed a couple of things, but the last one was to be ever-changing, to be
ever
looking for new ways of doing things. And I said to them, make it practical. It's not this big thought. Whatever you do, how you approach a guest, how you approach your daily tasks, how you think about things, even if you have to clean the wall, you know, do it in a new way. And it has worked. It's been amazing.
That's amazing. I think I'm going to take tips from you too. Listen, so what's up with your next programs? I know that you've got Station House, obviously, where you do all your events. So tell us about what you do here exactly.
Well, this is very interesting. This is my house. This is where I live. This is where I stay.
Amazing loft apartment.
Yeah, loft apartment in a rooftop of an old building here in Paul. And the space has been very good to me. It also just naturally developed into something. People just started asking me, listen, can't we pay you and you cook for us? And that developed into this little space and industry of what we'd like doing now. And people book and we do groups of between 10 and 30. And they come and eat. And we give them a really special experience of what it is to dine at a traditional, a cape table.
Totally.
In the wine list.
I've done it a few times with my clients, and which was amazing. They loved it. And we are very excited about travel with us, which we're coming with you.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming in August,
yeah.
And then we're coming to do a stunning dinner with Maynard inside his Station House.
Yeah.
Give us a bit of sneak peek.
Sneak peek, well, we've delved into now winter and when you are going to be here, into French cooking or sort of French inspired, arty cooking. So we start off with beautiful canapes downstairs and Cape Classique, and with that we serve pistolatiere, those little tarts with the anchovy and the onions.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah, which
I
is
love
beautiful.
Your French cooking. I know we had it in the Rodeburg room, remember, with the Swiss salad.
And we're doing little blinis inspired by the Russian trip with caviar on, which we love now. It's also sort of part of what we do. And then we move on. Yeah, we do a whole barrette course with handmade butters, which we serve with the Cape Classique. Yeah, and then we do a bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse. Oh,
bouillabaisse,
love.
Yeah.
You do a very good bouillabaisse.
Love the bouillabaisse, and we put a lot of attention to detail and how we cook the stock, and you know, start off with a whole big pot like this and we reduce it down, and it's really beautiful. And then we do a mushroom risotto with baby chickens that we just do the breasts and the little leg with, and then recently started using fresh black truffles, winter truffles.
Where do you find them?
We've got a fantastic supplier in Stellenbosch, and it's South African truffles.
amazing.
Yeah,
tell us about it.
Quality is like, fantastic.
People don't know about it. You only find the Italian and the French one,
yeah.
Black and white. Is it sort of the same?
Yes. It's black truffles, winter truffles, and it's from Woodford.
Yeah.
And they were the first ones now who started planting it with.
The Ruperts worked it. They also started planting it, I think.
I'm not sure.
On the other side, yeah.
That come from Woodford. And the quality is really amazing. And it's so nice to be able to use a South African product.
And price?
It's very expensive. I think these ones come at 15,000 a kilo.
Oof, yeah. Well, that's sort of
our
par.
€1,000
a kilo, normally, overseas.
Yeah. So that's
you buy a little bit like this. It's like gold dust or like gold.
Yeah, but I mean, it does go a far way.
Yeah.
You only use a little bit.
Because it's hectic potent. Do you put it in oil and sort of preserve it a little bit for your sauces, or you do put it in fresh?
We've used it fresh, which I think has been lovely. And then it sort of just slowly eats up on top of the risotto. And the people are loving it. Also because people don't know it. They know the flavored oils, but they don't really understand
the earthiness
and the taste. And I think it's just so special.
The wine must be amazing with it. The mentors, like the orchestra or those very... those wines. You know what I'm saying? The Bordeaux Blendy or the Hectic Merlot.
And especially the mentors wines with the sort of barrel fermented white wines as well.
Ooh,
and the aged white wines.
The Chardonnays and things.
The Chardonnays, the Grenache Blanc, the Semillons, all of that, works beautifully with it. Yeah, and then for main course, we do a steak Bernays. Fricky, our other chef, makes a beautiful Bernays sauce, which he's now perfected. I won't tell you how much butter goes in there, but it's a
everything
huge
is better
amount.
With butter.
Yeah, and then desserts, we finish off on a light note. We just do like a beautiful white chocolate and the vanilla bean creme pat with macaroons and fresh berries. And and then we end, after that, we do some aged brandies.
Yes.
10, 12, 15, and 20-year-old brandies, and
delicious.
And that's it.
Have you brought out your own cookbook yet?
No, but we
are. Are you in the process?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
We are now talking to to Penguin.
Yeah.
And they're very interested in collaborating with us. So, we've been doing all the proposals and the proposed recipes and the things. Yeah.
Amazing.
So that will happen this year still.
You really?
Yeah.
And you're going to shoot everything.
Yeah,
and you're going to shoot it. You're going to do everything. Or what are you going to do?
Well, I won't shoot
the
images. I love taking photographs, but I think one just gets lost in the
pictures. I always see over here that you put on Facebook. Do you take the pictures as well?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them
amazing.
I do. Some of them
amazing.
I do. But I find that doing everything from beginning to end is quite intense.
No, it's
and sometimes I just feel, though we've got such amazing photographers, rather get somebody in and then you can sort of have an external eye,
yes,
which I think works better.
Totally.
Yeah.
And how many recipes are we looking at? How big?
Sure. We're not with the main courses yet and we're on about 80 so far. So it's probably going to be about 120.
Book. Yeah.
Hopefully,
I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. Yeah.
So if people want to come and join your events or do anything or get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, very easily. We're very active on social media. All my handles are at Maynard J for Maynard Hubert. For Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And then obviously they can visit my website, which is www.maynard.co.za. And all the contact information is on there.
Do you have events sort of that you sometimes do besides your clients that comes and eat here, open events for public?
Yes, we do. And we are planning a lovely thing for Christmas. We decided we're going to be open for Christmas and we're going to do a lot of events in Cathedral Cellar.
Stunning.
Open events, because not a lot of people are able to see it. And I think there's going to be a lot of tourists down here and people from Gauteng. So we want to open it up to them and people can come book and we cook for them.
And then it's like a Christmas lunch you're
going to
do.
Yes, a series of them. So we'll probably be
busy. I might just bring my whole family for Robertson and say, come, let's go do a Christmas lunch, Maynard's Catering.
Exactly. And everybody's on holiday. Nobody really wants to cook. And so we decided we're going to do that this year and give them a real sort of beautiful Cape Christmas experience.
Yes, stunning. Yeah, okay, so people need to book.
Yeah, people need to book, and it's in the cathedral cellar, which is obviously very beautiful and cool.
You must share with us the information. We'll share it with our community. I'm sure anyone that's down here that doesn't want to cook lunch, I will make use of that.
Definitely.
Awesome. Tell me, before we end it off, what do you love about what you do? What can you never get enough of?
I can never get enough of cooking, of receiving people in my home, receiving people at Cathedral Cellar. There's just a beautiful energy that is almost addictive about it. Without it, I don't know what my life would have been, but there is just something about serving people, something about creating for somebody, something about sharing your passion and your love about what's in your heart, your knowledge, your journey that you've been on, and putting that on a plate and then having this fleeting experience of eating it and tasting it, and then it's gone and then the memory is left.
Okay.
And that and it draws back to that sort of impressionistic art thing again, where it comes and it goes and it's there and it's gone, and you try and capture something that people will remember, and they will remember that experience and the taste and the flavor, and hopefully that will be something profound in their life.
Stunning. Yeah. Maynard, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
I had a fantastic time. I'm completely mesmerized with all of this art that you were talking about, sort of a lot of other stuff as well, which was great. Mm-hmm. We're really looking forward to come travel with us.
Yes,
I think it's going to be an exceptional weekend, and we're going to really end it. You're going to be the cherry on the top for our event. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll be next time. We'll be back next time. Cheers.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or log into www.nicheradio.co.za.